As in seeking God's direction and help for this service this morning, it's kind of funny how God directs at times, but it's really neat when you see the thumbprint of God in the way that He's been directing. And this morning's message, last night as we were closing out the service, Brother Lee closed us in prayer. And it was during that time of prayer, he said something that God really gripped my heart with that I wasn't able to get away from. And I really sensed that the Lord wanted me to preach about. And I don't know if he even remembers what particular it was. But he made a reference in that prayer about God speaking and maybe the various ways that God speaks. And then I don't think it was a coincidence that then we come in to the Bible study this morning. And I, maybe you didn't learn a new word, but I learned a new word. I am not a Greek scholar, but I learned about Mikra and the Lord Jesus, the voice of that. And then the song that they sung before I got up here, there's talking about that voice that's in our ear and how God speaks. Well, can you guess what God is going to speak to us about this morning? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. I want to preach with the Lord's help this morning on the subject of God speaking. And I don't know what you are expecting in this encampment, but I pray that God would indeed speak to us this week. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. And again, I'm reminding you, I'm sharing with the King from the King James Version, so if yours reads a little bit different, you'll understand why. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. The Hebrew writer, from the very beginning of this letter, lets us know without question that God speaks. But the fact that God speaks, when it comes to you and me, the fact that God speaks, it brings up a lot of other questions. And the good thing about that is the Hebrew writer goes on to answer some of these questions for us on the subject of God speaking. One of the things that he reminds us, and I don't know what questions you would have concerning the subject of God speaking, but one of the first things he addresses here is he lets us know when God speaks. In fact, he gets down a little bit more specific and he lets us know that there were really only two times that God has spoken. Now, before you run me out as a heretic, hear me out, okay? The two times that I'm referring to is, notice what he said. He said, God spoke in times past. And he speaks in these last days. So in other words, he's letting us know there really hasn't been a time when God hasn't spoken. And there may be some would say, well, wait a minute, Brother George, I want to challenge you here, but what about those 400 years between the First Testament? I learned something else. Those 400 years between the First Testament and the New Testament, where they call it the Dark Ages. Well, I don't think it was nearly as much that God wasn't speaking as it was men wasn't listening very well. So, anyway, but he lets us know that not only did God speak in times past, but he also speaks in these last days. So God has continued to speak. I thought it was also interesting that here in the first century, as the Hebrew writer was writing this, he was referring to it then as the last days. I thought if he thought it was the last days then, he'd really think it was the last days now. I mean, that's been 2,000 years ago, and it kind of reminds me of a song that we wore out when I was a teenager. I remember, not because I have a good memory, just wasn't that long ago, but I remember when I was a teenager back in the... I remember when I was a teenager back in the mid-70s, There was a song that we sung in youth group that said, if back then it seemed so real that I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today. Signs of the time are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes toward the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. I see some of you sung that one too back in the 70s. And so He lets us know when God speaks. In fact, I want to point out something else here in the King James Version and give you a little bit of an explanation here, because He said, God, who at sundry times. Now, I know you don't need me to explain this, but up where I'm from in Southeast Ohio, there are some folks and some preachers there that when they out in the country churches that they will get up and shoot from the hip and preach from Genesis to Revelation in every message, and it just kind of the term is they kind of wing it. And so I was visiting at one of those little country churches one time, and I visited. There was a revival going on. And so the preacher who was doing the preaching, that wasn't me, but the preacher who was doing the preaching got up and announced his text. And so we turned in our Bibles to that text. And then he went, proceeded to read his text. And he misread it. He misread the text and even mispronounced one of the words that was in the verse. That would have been okay, except for the fact he went on to preach the entire message on the misread text and the mispronounced word. And what was even sadder is the fact that there were those sitting in the congregation that never even realized it and amened him as though he was preaching the gospel truth. And I thought, why wouldn't you notice in verse number one here, when the Hebrew writer said, as we have recorded in the King James Version, he said, God, who at sundry times. Please make a note, that does not say Sunday times. Okay, so I don't want you to get the impression that God only speaks on Sunday times. Here we are on a Friday morning. Isn't it good to know that God can speak to us on a Friday morning? Okay, not just Sunday times. The word is sundry, which just means God speaks at various times. Whether it's morning, night, whether it's Monday or Sunday, whether it's Wednesday, whether it's in a good times or whether it's in a bad times, whether we're in church or someplace else, God speaks at sundry times. At various times in our life, God speaks. And so He answers the question, when does God speak? He also addresses the issue, the question, to whom does God speak? I will probably, and so will my co-workers, will probably make a reference to God speaking to us. I'm assuming that you're hoping that God will speak to us to share with us what we are to say to you. But the comforting news is this, that not only did He say God spoke to the prophets and to our forefathers through the prophets, but God also speaks to us. We do not have a monopoly on this thing of God speaking. God is wanting to speak to every one of us here throughout this encampment over the days that we are here. So He lets us know when God speaks. God speaks at various times. He lets us know to whom God speaks. God not only spoke to the forefathers, but He also wants to speak to us. If I were to let you ask a question on the subject of God speaking, I think perhaps the biggest question, and the one that seems to occupy our thought process the most, is that, how does God speak? How does God speak? Because there may be some of you who are new converts. And so now that you've started this journey with the Lord, you're wanting to discern His will for your life, and you're wanting to listen to Him so you know how you should live and what you should do and those various things. And in that journey, and I understand that, and most of us here who have been on this journey any time at all understand that, it might have made the journey a whole lot easier if we could have heard the audible voice of God. And when we get up of a morning, the Lord just like, it's time to get up. Now you come along and walk with me. And He speaks with us like I'm speaking to you. That would seem like it would make it a whole lot easier to discern the will of God sometimes. Now, I do believe with all my heart that God can speak audibly. I believe that. I believe that there is an audible voice that God has. I think it's strange that we always assume that God has this booming bass voice. Let there be light. Won't we be surprised if we get to heaven and find out God's a tenor? Anyway, some of you get that on the way home, but anyway. So, how does God speak? When I go into the Old Testament and I read what those prophets wrote, and it said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, I believe they wrote down what they heard God say. I believe God has an audible voice. When I go back to the book of Genesis, and God said, let us make. I believe He spoke this world into existence. I believe that when He came, as was mentioned earlier, that when He came in Genesis chapter 3, in the garden at the fall, and there in verse number 9, He said, Adam, where art thou? I believe there was an audible voice of God that Adam and Eve had the privilege of hearing. I don't believe His voice stopped at the time of the end of the First Testament. I believe that when we look in the New Testament and I look in the Gospels, for example, in Matthew chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, what a beautiful picture of the triune Godhead or the Blessed Trinity. What we have in Matthew chapter 3 is we have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the water being baptized by John the Baptist. And He comes up out of the water, and while the Son is standing there, the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove. And so we have the Son and we have the Spirit. And just as they're standing there engrossed in that scene, they hear in verse 17 these words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That voice they heard was the audible voice of God. Those standing around there probably thinking, whoa, dude, where'd that come from? That voice they heard. And He was saying to them, this is my beloved Son. We go to the book of Matthew chapter 17. And in the book of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus took that inner circle, that three, Peter, James, and John, and He took them up to a mountaintop. And while they're there, Jesus' clothes turned white as snow, as did His hair. And not only did that happen, but on that mountain, Moses and Elijah appears to them. We call this the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they're enjoying the presence of the Lord and this whole transfiguring experience, they hear these words in verse 15. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. So they heard the audible voice of God. I don't believe God has laryngitis today. I believe that if He wanted to, He could speak audibly to where we could hear His audible voice. I believe He could shut my voice down and you could hear His voice. I think it would scare most of us to death if it happened. But I believe God could do that. In fact, I have even heard people testify to this, that they have heard the voice of God. Now, you say, Brother George, I've heard people say that too. What do you think about that? I'm glad you asked. I wasn't going to say, but since you brought it up, I'll tell you. I've got about three thoughts on that. Because maybe somebody here has heard the audible voice of God. Now, I make a reference a lot of time in my preaching that I've heard from the Lord. But I'll make this confession. As far as I know, I personally have never heard the audible voice of God. But I believe that there are some people that maybe have. They told me they have. But I think there's three reasons. There are some folks that have told me that. that I felt that they walked so close with the Lord and that they were in such a relationship, if they told me they heard the audible voice of God, I would not have any reason to doubt it at all. There have been some other folks that told me that, that I think that probably they were so hard-hearted and so far from God that about the only way He could get to them is if He called out their name out loud. But then for all the rest, Brother Lee, it verified what I already thought. They were hearing voices already, but I'm not sure it was the voice of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I believe God does have an audible voice. But one of the things, and it might be while you're trying to discern the will of God for your life, maybe you're waiting for that kumbaya experience to where you actually hear the voice of God. But I want to warn you, don't let the enemy frustrate you if you don't hear His audible voice. Because I'll tell you why. One of the reasons we have in the First Testament there of how the prophet said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and even in the New Testament, we hear those same expressions. The Lord spake, and the Lord said. You must realize that that was at a time we had not heard from God. You know what we call this? Now, I know we call it the Bible, but don't we also call it the Word of God? And I'm convinced that one of the reasons we don't hear the audible voice of God as much as what they recorded it is because God has already spoken. In here, He has told us how we can make it to heaven. He has instructed us of how we're to live on this earth. He's instructed us of how we're to treat other people. And here is our guidelines, our map, our instructions, and God has already spoken. And I'm afraid that some folks who are hoping or wanting to hear God speak audibly, could it be that they've read what He's already said? They don't want to really line up to that. And they're hoping maybe He's changed His mind on something and maybe He'll say something different. In fact, there have been those who've committed horrible crimes that gave God credit for telling them to do it. Many mass murderers have even said in public that God told them to do such a thing. The Son of Sam killer, I think, was one of those examples who said God told him to do that. Well, no, He did not. And by the way, if somebody, and this is about the time of year when they come out in pretty good force, if you see a couple of young men come in dark trousers and a white shirt and a dark tie with a little name tag on, and they want to offer you another testament of Jesus Christ, let them know you got the first one and you got the new one and you don't need any other one. Amen, amen, Brother George. And some of you get that one on the way home too. But I believe God can speak audibly. But I know this. God does not always speak audibly because there have been many other ways. Remember, the Hebrew writer said that He speaks in divers manners. That word divers is not a reference to people that put on scuba gear and go underwater, okay? That just simply means He speaks in many different ways. So He lets us know God is not pigeonholed and backed into a corner, that the only way He can speak is audibly. So if we don't hear His audible voice, He hasn't spoken. That's not true. He lets us know there are so many different ways that God speaks. First and foremost, He spoke audibly. But I also know this. There have been times in Scripture when God chose not to speak Himself. But we know He has messengers that sometimes He will dispatch from glory to come and speak on His behalf. We call them, we know them as angels. You look in the Word of God, and there were many times recorded when God did not speak audibly, but He sent angels from glory down to this earth, and they came to speak on His behalf. And time again, it is recorded that angels delivered a message that God wanted individuals to hear. It is possible that God could do that among us. In fact, we're even instructed in the Word of God that sometimes, believe it or not, we may be entertaining angels without even being aware of it. I'm just checking to see if we might have some, okay? Anyway, and so God speaks audibly, but God speaks through angels. I also know this, that there are times that I believe God speaks in other ways. For example, I thank God for our missionaries. But I have heard missionaries share stories how they've gone into remote parts of the world where the gospel has not been preached yet. And when they get to those indigenous people groups, that they discover that even though they haven't heard about God, and even though they haven't heard about His Son, Jesus Christ, they discover that these primitive people are worshiping something. And it may be a rock, it may be a tree, it may be they're worshiping the sun or the moon. What's going on there? I'm reminded of what the psalmist said in Psalm number 8, verses 3, 4, and 5. He said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor." What was the psalmist saying? That creation, God, the majesty of God's handiwork, whether you look at the majesty of a mountain, or you look at the vastness of the ocean, or you look at the beauty of the foliage in the fall, or whether you look at some of the animals He's created, there is something about creation that even these primitive people groups who have not heard the gospel message recognize that there is someone out there that is bigger than they are, that deserves their worship. And we just need to let them know who that someone is. That it's not the rock, it's not the tree, it's not the moon or the stars we worship, but the one who created those things. And God has put that desire in our heart of those He's created, that there is someone out there bigger than us that deserves our worship. So God sometimes speaks through creation. I hesitate to bring up this other one, but because it is biblical, to be fair to you, I have to. God speaks through, He speaks audibly, He speaks through angels, He speaks through creation. But I also know that there have been times when God speaks through dreams and visions. Multiple times. This is not an isolated incident, but multiple times in the Word of God, you will see when God hasn't spoken audibly, He hasn't spoken through angels, but He gives somebody or even warns somebody through a dream or vision. Now, having said that, please heed this warning. Don't read more into dreams and visions than what you ought to read into them. Because you must realize this. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's a lot of other stuff that will affect our dreams and cause us to have visions too. Let me give you an example. I love pizza. But if I eat pizza before I go to bed, I will have the craziest dreams, and I'm pretty certain you wouldn't want me to preach on any of them. They would not be God-inspired. They would be pizza-inspired, okay? And I have been in places, and you must realize that there's a lot of stuff that affects our dreams and will cause us to have visions that may not necessarily be very spiritual. I have been in hospital rooms where there are those who are under intense pain, and to try to control their pain, they're under intense medication like morphine and the such like. And you can be in those rooms with those people and they'll be pointing to things on the wall and stuff that is crawling, and they will see things, and I'm looking around, I don't see that. What are you talking about? They're having visions, but those visions are drug-induced and not spirit-induced. And there's a lot of folks who are having some visions and dreams. It has more to do with what they inhaled at Woodstock than it does with the Holy Spirit of God, okay? I think many of them are in Washington, D.C. right now. But anyway, but they didn't inhale. So they tell us. And so be careful about the dreams and visions. But God can speak through dreams and visions. He warned the Apostle Paul. He warned Joseph. And on throughout Scripture, there were those God spoke to them through dreams and visions. I also know this, that God speaks, and I pray that He will speak this week through what the Scripture refers to as the foolishness of preaching. God chooses to use preachers. But I want you to know something. It's not just the preacher. Because God wants to use various elements in any given service. It may be. I'm not naive enough to think that every message I preach on any given service time is going to be for everybody that's in that service. But I do believe this. I believe there'll be something in every service for everybody. So if there's going to be something in every service for everybody, and if my message is not going to be for everybody, then where's the rest of the message going to come from? It may be God wants to speak through the singers. There have been many times I've left a service and people have referenced, oh, how God spoke to me through the words of that song. There have been other times, even when I was a young convert, that I could not have told you what the message that had preached was about, that had been preached was about. But maybe somebody's testimony spoke to my heart. And we must realize when we come through these doors, we don't come as a spectator, but we come as a participator. Because God wants to use the various elements of this service to speak to everybody that is there. And so if it's only about my message, who else is going to be left out then? That's why I don't get too concerned. It doesn't bother me if the songs don't go with the message at all. I figure if they sing on heaven and I preach on hell, God's just balanced things out that day. And one of the things I appreciate about them, they don't come up to me before service and ask me what I'm preaching about. And I don't like it when people do that anyway. I usually don't tell them. Now, I told Brother Fred, because he needs to know the title, for the recording's sake. But I've had worship leaders that have come and asked me that, and I know why they asked me that. They want to make sure they make their song list to go right along with my message. And I just look at him. I said, now listen, you pray, and you sing what God wants you to sing. And I'll pray, and I'll preach what God wants me to preach. And I figure it'll work out all right. If it all does not go together, somebody may need to hear something different than what I've got to say that morning. We need to join in with God's plan instead of expecting God to join in with our plan all the time. Amen, Brother George. Don't get too quiet on me now. Anyway, God speaks audibly. He speaks through angels. He speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through creation. He speaks through the preaching. He speaks through the singing. He speaks through the testimonies. I also know this, that God can speak even through tragedy and difficult times of our life. Let me give you an example. I don't believe for one moment that God caused those terrorists to fly those planes into those locations on 9/11. But I believe during that horrible time in the history of our country that God was speaking. Why else were our churches much fuller the Sunday after than they were the Sunday before? And I think about our young people. We think about in our schools where the gospel message in many places is no longer allowed to be proclaimed. And even the Gideons, I still have the little testament that they gave me when I was in fifth grade. But now in many places, the Gideons, instead of going into the school and handing out the Bibles, many times have to go on the other side of the street and hand them out only if the children ask for them. But I remember those times. I think about the times now when our young people are experiencing calamity and tragedy. You think about a classmate who's committed suicide. You think about a classmate who's been killed in a horrible accident. Or you think about a classmate who has died from some other, maybe cancer or something like that. Our young people don't realize at times that they are eternal creatures, that they're going to spend eternity somewhere, and that we're not going to live forever. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be diagnosed with a terminal illness to leave this world. And people planted in the cemeteries were not old people. There are young people who are there. And when our young people experience death and their friends around them are dying, they have a hard time dealing with that. And then all of a sudden, we as ministers are invited in sometime to provide grief counsel. Why is that? During those times, I believe God is speaking to young people in that impressionable time to let them know you don't have a guarantee you're going to live to be old. And if you die young, where will you spend eternity? God causes us to speak. He speaks to cause us to think about our own mortality and about eternal things when otherwise we may not give it another thought. God speaks through that. The Hebrew writer tells us God spoke through the prophets. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But I like this part. The Hebrew writer says, you really want to hear from God? You really want to hear from God? You want to hear God speak? And you read through some of these earlier chapters in Hebrews, and he lets us know, a better than the angels has come. A better than Moses has come. A better than the prophets has come. A better high priest has come. If you want to hear God speak, he said, in these last days, he's spoken unto us through his Son. If you want to hear God speak, look to his Son. And yesterday I reminded us that God is speaking loud and clear to the world. You don't think he is? Look at the cross, the empty cross. And God is saying, I love you this much. It is God is speaking loudly from Calvary. He's speaking loudly from the cross. Look to my Son. Son, if you want to know how much I love you, God's crying it out. I love you. He speaks through his Son. Now, I realize how God speaks is probably the one question about that we're most interested in. But if we only focus on how God speaks, we will miss it. Because on the subject of God speaking, the important part is not how he speaks. The important part is, why does he speak? Why would God even speak to us to begin with? Let me give you a few things very quickly. Why does God speak? You can look in the Word of God and see the various times that God spoke in whatever way he chose to speak. But one way, and it might be, that some of you are trying to discern the will of God and trying to find out what God wants you to do with your life. I got good news for you. God wants to speak words of commissioning to you. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was tending to his father-in-law's sheep. They're in the backside of the desert. And while he's walking there with the sheep, all of a sudden, there's this bush that is burning. but it's not being consumed. And Moses kind of steps back and he looks and that, that's pretty interesting. I can't believe it's not being consumed. But while that bush is burning without being consumed, there's a voice that comes out of that bush. Moses, Moses, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place you're standing on is holy ground. Why did God speak to him? There was an audible voice that came out of that bush, and he's speaking through a burning bush. Why? It was there that Moses gets to call, go back into Egypt and bring my children out of there. It was a, God spoke words of commissioning. Again, it was referenced in 1 Samuel chapter 3. There was a young boy there by the name of Samuel. His mother kept her promise as she prayed that God would give her son. Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. After she weaned that little boy, she brought him to the temple. And Samuel is growing up in the temple. And Samuel is awakened by a voice. And he goes into the room of the high priest Eli and says, yes, what do you want? Eli said, I didn't say nothing. Go back to bed. That happened three times. And finally, after the third time, Eli realizes what's happening. It's not him that's speaking, and Eli knows that. So Eli says to little Samuel, the next time you hear that, say, yes, Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. And after the third time, that voice comes again, and God speaks, and God is calling Samuel now. We now have a revelation from God, a light that is going to shine in the darkness in the midst of Israel now. God is speaking to commission this young boy now to be this prophet, as we know as Samuel. Words of commissioning. If you go to Genesis chapter 18, verse number 14. It's there where God dispatches a couple of angels to pay Abraham a visit to let them know they're going to become parents 9 months from now. Now, at the age of 99 and 89, that would not be the best news I heard, okay? My wife and I have been blessed with two sons, but at this point in my life, I wouldn't give a nickel for another one right now, okay? I mean, I love children. I'm excited about the grandbaby we got coming. Grandbabies will be fine, all right? I don't want an angel come to tell me tonight, I'm going to be a daddy next year. That would not be the thrill of my life right now, okay? Anyway, why did the angel come to tell them that? Because 24 years earlier, in Genesis chapter 12, God had made Abraham a promise. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will make of thee a great nation. Abraham was 75 when God made that promise. 24 years had gone by and it hadn't happened yet. Why is God speaking? Not words of commissioning, but words of confirmation. There are some of you that are clinging dearly to a promise in God's Word. That promise has not been fulfilled yet, but you hold on. Just because it hasn't been fulfilled yet doesn't mean it's not going to be. God wants to speak to you this week words of confirmation to confirm in your heart. He knows where you are. He knows the promise He's made to you. Hang in there. It will be fulfilled. So He speaks words of confirmation. He speaks words of commissioning. But then I'm reminded in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. The leader of Israel has died. And now the leadership baton has been passed off to Joshua. Can you imagine having to fill the sandals of Moses? And you think, but the Lord comes on the scene. And in verses 5 and 6, here's what the Lord, Joshua hears these words. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. And then in verse 6 he said, be strong and of good courage. He said, whoo, I think I can make this thing now. Why did God speak? It was words of consolation. He speaks peace to our troubled heart. Be strong and of good courage. I will be with you. Some of you need to hear God speak to you this week. Words of consolation. One other way that God speaks. There are times throughout Scripture that God comes on the scene, has already been mentioned, Genesis chapter 3. God came to speak to Abraham. God came to speak to Adam and Eve. It's a good thing I'm not God. Don't look at me like that. I'm real glad you're not God. But if I would have been God, I'd have come in that garden. I'd have come behind that tree where they thought they were safely hidden. I'd have snatched them up. I'd have stomped them back in the dirt. I said, you blew your chance. I'll just make somebody else. God did not come into that scene to stomp them back in the dirt and start over with somebody else. He didn't come in there to condemn them. He confronted them to redeem them. God, many times throughout Scripture, in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, God spoke. Why? He spoke words of confrontation. God may want to speak to some of us that way this week, to confront us with things that's not right in our life, not to condemn us, but He wants to help us and redeem us. Lord, speak words of confrontation if that's what's necessary. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Would you bow your head with me?